This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run, 8:48 right now. I'm Melissa Adrius with Julian Ng and Ibrahim Sani, looking at the top business stories of the day. Sime Darby is targeting a net profit of 2.2 billion ringgit and return on average shareholder equity of 6.4% for the 2017 financial year. Now, I'd like to make a quick note that they also announced their quarterlies. They posted a 37% rise in net profit for the first quarter. That's despite revenue falling marginally from a year ago. Now, this was due to better earnings from the motor and property divisions, as well as lower finance costs. So clearly, motor and property driving that business for the company.
Yeah, and the ominous missing part here is Plantation. Mm-hmm. And obviously, they have to figure out a way to actually supplement the loss on possible earnings from the plantation sector, or growth from the plantation sector. We have to expect lower crude palm oil production. We have to also expect lower crude palm oil prices. And we have to also expect higher raw sugar cost and lower earnings from downstream segment in Plantation. So it makes more sense for them to actually, you know, think about growing their other divisions like motor division.
Also, I think Sime Darby is owned by PNB, and whether the management changes that we're seeing at the PNB level will affect Sime Darby's strategic direction. I mean, this is a really huge company that we're talking about, and PNB is also a huge institution in Malaysia. And obviously, the kind of things that are being done by either PNB or Sime Darby will have national policy implication.
Which is also interesting, right? Because while it has national policy implications, they are growing their regional businesses quite strong. During the third quarter, Sime's motor division profit actually grew more than half, more than 50% to 130 million ringgit. They say that the contribution is all from all regions, except some regions like Vietnam, Australia, and Macau, perhaps because of lower currency problems there, currency translation. Mm-hmm. But the higher profit was also registered from some of its key brands like Ford, like rental businesses in Malaysia, like BMW in Singapore. So these contributions perhaps might work for the better for them, because while the ringgit is low, they can actually earn, you know, a lot more from translation cost.
Well, I'd just like to come back to the plantation business. So Sime clearly expecting kind of lower crude palm oil production and all that. But if we were to look at another plantation giant that's making headlines this morning, FGV was on the front cover of The Edge Weekly, this week's issue. And they expect to write off as much as 300 million ringgit. If you remember, fraud was discovered in their JV business in Turkey.
Yeah, of course. And, the words that The Edge used, bite the bullet, clean its books. It doesn't mean well, right, for FGV to actually write off up to 300 million ringgit. But this is something that they have to do. It's a kitchen sinking process.
It's a terrible impact on corporate governance in Malaysia.
Yeah, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, if this particular fraud that was found out, it was done in a JV company where the JV setup is actually 50-50, IFCO and also FGV. My question is, this 300 million, is it written off just only on the FGV books, or is it 50-50 shared? Whatever it is, right, that corporate governance story is put in play.
Okay, it's 8:51 right now. We're also, we've come across an exclusive article by NSC's Business Times. They've reported that Maybank's insurance arm has signed a deal to acquire a priority stake in an Indonesian insurance company called PT Asoka. So PT Asoka is essentially it's just a small player in the insurance market, but it's understood that Etika is acquiring it for its license and therefore leveraging Maybank Indonesia's extensive network already rather than Asoka's network.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, while this deal is still subject for approval from both the regulators at Malaysia and also Indonesia, you're right, Melissa, the license is more important because the infrastructure is there. They already have more than 400 branches. I'm talking about Maybank Indonesia. They have more than 400 branches. They can actually reach out to various markets in Indonesia. The only thing they need now is the license to do so. And my question is, they're doing something very different from, say, for instance, what CIMB is doing. CIMB has exited the Indonesian insurance business. If you realize, they have sold down or divested 51% of their PT Sun Life business. At home here in Malaysia, CIMB Group has stopped selling or wants to stop selling their insurance products. product, they are selling some other people's products, Sompo Giant, Nipponkoa Holdings, which is a Japanese insurance product.
Wait, hang on. So CIMB has exited the Indonesian insurance business, right? But yeah, CIMB Niaga is going strong. We saw their recent results.
Yeah, I think we also have to be very careful when we say a certain bank is exiting the insurance business because of bank assurance, right? You don't really have to own insurance companies to be in insurance business. You can actually distribute insurance products, and some would argue that that is a better business because you just need to spend on, you don't have to spend on distribution because you've already established the banking branches, and you get that distribution margin and incorporate that into your whole suite of banking products to your customers. So that's one way to do it. I guess the other way to do it is to buy off an insurance company straight off. And for Maybank, Indonesia is also a very important market. And, you know, they're taking that direction to buy into a smallish insurance company there.
It's worth noting that Maybank is big in the consumer banking business and in the retail banking business. They have over 10 million retail banking customers in ASEAN and beyond. Their online banking service, their mobile banking platform, all of them have actually won awards. Other banks, while they're still trying to find the winning formula, Maybank is already there. So at the end of this week, we'll probably have a discussion with the CEO of Maybank Aegis Holdings, the operator for Etika. They own close to 70% of Etika International Holdings, Berhad, and see and ask him directly where will this deal will take them forward.
Well, another company, another insurance company that's looking at Indonesia is Tune Protect. So they are attempting to form a joint venture in Indonesia. They hope to tie up with a local insurer there by next year. Now, quite interesting because if you remember, Tune has had a number of unsuccessful attempts to tie up with JVs in Indonesia.
Yeah, so new leadership, new style perhaps. We have the new CEO, Razman Hafiz. He has told Starbase, at least, that Tune Protect wants to enter the Indonesian market still yet again. But the junior Cho, the former CEO, had to terminate an agreement to buy the PT Ansuransi Staku Mandiri last year. Tune Protect also had to abort a deal to buy Batavia Mitra Tama Insurance in 2014. So perhaps third time's a charm. And according to this particular article, at least, Razman Hafiz, the new CEO of Tune Protect, says that this new deal could be concluded as early as next year.
They're dating, find the right match, you know what I mean.
But I think this is also an example of how you can leverage on the tens of millions of customers that you have to sell other stuff apart from tickets and travel. As we know, AirAsia is pretty formidable in Indonesia, and they also get a lot of income apart from selling just plane tickets. And this is one of them. And I think that it's pretty complementary to their business.
Already, Indonesia is the third largest contributor for Tune Protect's travel reinsurance business. So just like the Chinese market, where we heard Peter Bellew spoke of about 2 weeks ago, that millions and millions, hundreds of millions of Chinese is actually trying to get passports. Same thing can be said about Indonesia. So we're going to see a growth, a balloon in passenger travel growth.
Yeah, and I think in AirAsia is a company that really understands the philosophy of low cost, and I think people are beginning to jump onto the bandwagon. Competition will be extremely high. So this kind of diversification or synergistic acquisitions will be very good for somebody like AirAsia and would add to their strategic and competitive advantage. But, you know, low cost suggests also a kind of disruption, and we have been talking about fintech all the while, right? But there is also insure tech, because the insurance products that exist out there are very expensive, and it's really something that is ripe for disruption. In fact, Bank Negara already are coming out with some rules that will force insurance companies to allow customers to buy insurance directly without the help of very expensive agents, and they can buy that online. So Bank Negara itself is also a very big agent in that fintech, even though they are quite wary to open up fintech completely. They have that sandbox going on, but insurance is one of those sectors where we will see a lot of sparks fly in 1 or 2 years.
Absolutely.
And I'm really looking for that, looking forward for that.
Well, it's a few minutes up to the 9 o'clock news, but before that, let's take a look at the telecom, the telco sector. Telkom Malaysia, their net profit fell 4.2% on year to 160 million ringgit for the quarter ended September, and that on higher operating costs.
Yeah, so the big question now is, how do they manage these higher operating costs? It seems like these costs will continue to remain high, so perhaps they have to focus on improving their profits and their revenue, perhaps. And this is where we look into the Weebee service because TM has announced that they want to launch roll out their 4G service through Weebi. Perhaps this could actually improve on their revenue.
I have to say, 2016 has been quite the year of change for the telecommunications sector. It's really seen quite
not least contributed by the budget announcement that speeds internet speeds should be doubled and internet fees halved. I think that is going to be a major disruption to telecoms earnings.
I won't say who my telecom provider is, but I got a very fantastic SMS saying over the weekend saying that my my offer of 5 gigabytes per month has now been improved to 30 gigabytes per month with no additional charges.
Just like that.
So yes, a vote of
confidence.
How come
I didn't get that deal? Price. I must think this up.
Let's discuss this. All right. So make sure you stay with us if you're leaving your car to go up to your office. Stay with the conversation here on the Morning Run on your phone. You can download the BFM iPhone and Android app. We've got news with Lin Mark, and she's going to bring you the opening numbers from Bursa Malaysia coming up shortly. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.